Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things movie and nostalgia podcasts, go to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, a podcast where we revisit favorite pieces of pop culture from our youth to see if they're still as good all grown up. I'm Kara Gail O'Regan, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan Poland Clark.
Hello.
And this week, due to some technical difficulties that we had with our scheduled guest, we are breaking format again. We had to watch a Jane Austen adaptation that we, spoiler alert, did not enjoy. So instead, we decided for this episode to watch a Jane Austen adaptation we do like, and which also happens to be my personal favorite movie of all time. 1995's Clueless is a loose adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, set in Beverly Hills, and was written and directed by Amy Heckerling, and stars Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, Paul Rudd, and Brittany Murphy. I already mentioned that I love this movie so much, it's my favorite movie. Jordan, what is your relationship to it?
This movie is everything, and it's all that matters. No, that's not true, but I do feel
I'm inclined
like
to agree.
I saw this movie, so I was 9 when this came out. I saw it in the movie theater. I don't know if this is real or not, but I remember seeing it in the movie theater with my best friend at the time and her 2 older cousins. Mm-hmm. And just like that was it. You know, like once you saw this movie in 1995, like it's all that mattered. They were perfect. Their clothes were perfect. The way they talked was perfect.
The wardrobe,
it was everything.
The costumes in this movie are unbelievable. And we'll actually get to that at some point in the course of this episode, because it's a huge part of the movie, and they're just so good. Everything is so good.
So we also broke format a little bit in that we definitely have seen this.
Yeah, and like fairly recently.
Like a lot, yeah, like a lot. But I will say that I did see or maybe notice some things that I hadn't before. And it was interesting to watch it with like this lens that we keep using of like, you know, how are the women in this film?
Yeah.
So I liked that. I liked watching it with those thoughts.
It's a strong ensemble cast of not mostly women, but like
it's pretty equal,
dominant
though.
Yeah. It definitely does pass the Bechdel test, though not always. It's so good. What was I going to say next? It occurred to me while I was watching it that I am now entirely too old for this to still be my favorite movie.
No, that's not true.
But like, well, I'm 30
why do
now.
Why you think that?
I'm 30 now, and my favorite movie should probably not be about high schoolers.
I disagree. I mean, because even though it's about high schoolers, but it's not a movie that was made only for high schoolers to watch. It was a movie that was made for everybody to watch.
That's true.
But I wonder if you've never seen it before, and then you watch it and you're 30 for the first time, is it still good? I did talk to a 17-year-old who loves this movie. And I was like, okay. Oh, thank God it like, you know, it gets passed on to the next generation and it's still good. So it is a good movie.
Oh yeah. That I'm not questioning. It's absolutely a good movie. In fact, I dare say it's a great movie. Perhaps the greatest. I don't know. It's not for me to decide.
I can't believe like how many jokes are in it that I straight up did not understand until like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's... I was shocked the first time I watched it, like in my 20s. First of all, I can't believe I was allowed to watch it when I was 9 and watch it so many times. Like I definitely had it on VHS, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely did.
Like there's just so many like drug references and like sex jokes.
No shit, you guys got coke here?
I can't remember, like, what I thought about that when I was young.
I think
except for I don't remember thinking about it.
Yeah, just one of those things that just kind of flies right past you and goes over your head.
Yeah, like, I think maybe I knew, but I didn't get it.
Yeah. A lot of times, in recent years when I've seen this, it's been because it was, like, on TV. So it's, like, a version of it that's, like, cut and edited to be aired on cable. And one thing that I did notice that they definitely change for television, and I don't even know why, like, I remembered this, but that scene when they're, like, at the mall and they're sitting in the booth talking about having sex with boys.
Yeah.
And Ty says, like, I don't care just as long as his you-know-what isn't crooked. On yeah. television, the way they do it is just as long as his you-know-what isn't you-know-what. I was like, what does that supposed to even mean?
I like that a lot.
Yeah. There's actually, like, a lot of bad ADR in this movie that I noticed this time around that I don't think I noticed previously, where, like, they go into a recording booth after they've shot and re-record dialogue, either because,
oh yeah,
like, the sound gets messed up or because they changed a line or something like that. And so you can see their lips moving, but it doesn't match the audio.
My friend actually said while we were watching this, he was like, does some of this look dubbed? I was like, no, yeah. But maybe.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, like, a lot of it.
I don't think I'd noticed it before.
Yeah. There are some... I spent a really long time reading the Wikipedia and IMDb trivia and stuff for this. And I came across on IMDb the taglines for the movie, which were terrible and don't represent it very well at all. The first one was sex, clothes, popularity. Is there a problem here? Which is like, what does that mean?
That sounds like those words definitely do fit this movie, but it sounds so bratty.
Yeah. And the other one was sex, clothes, popularity, whatever. Which, of course, is like a little bit more relevant. But something that I realized when I was, like, reading through some of the stuff that got cut out of the movie, and, like, there were actually scenes in the trailer that didn't wind up making the final cut of the film, that, like, I think the way that it was edited, they actually made them less bratty, which I appreciate, because I think there's so many portraits of teenage girls that just really focus on their brattiness and cattiness. And these girls are, like... yeah, they're shallow, but they're not mean, which is nice.
They can be a little mean to each other and to other people, and they're judgmental. And
I mean, they're teenagers.
But so. There's never a part where I disliked them.
Yeah. Like, the only real mean girl in this, I think, is Amber, and she is, like, a tertiary character.
And even she isn't that mean. They just, like, keep calling her mean. She never does anything that mean, like, as compared to everybody else, she's about the same.
Yeah, that's probably true. Whatever, if she doesn't do the assignment, I can't do mine.
I really like that when she says that whatever, she makes, like, W fingers.
Oh yeah.
I told my roommates, I was like, I'm gonna start using that on you in real life.
And I think this movie, like, invented that too, which
you think so
entered the lexicon, like, pretty seriously at one point in the 90s. I feel like people actually did that in real life.
Yeah, like, whatever, and, like, as if. What else do you think? Not, like, I wouldn't go as far as saying that this movie invented anything, but, like, yeah, I feel there was a lot of things that we walked around saying that were, like, straight out of this movie.
Yes, that's definitely true. Much like... this is a Keanu Club reference. The Bill and Ted franchise actually popularized a lot of that, like, Southern California slacker dude speak. Things like excellent and bogus that had been kind of used in subcultures and, like, introduced into the larger popular lexicon. And the same thing was true for Clueless. I did read at some point that I think somebody, like, published a book that, like, looked at Here we go. One of the promotional items distributed to tie in with the film was a booklet called How to Speak Cluelessly. In it was a lexicon of many of the invented terms used for clueless, some of which became part of real teen lingo at the time. An example was a Baldwin being a very handsome male, as in the famous sibling actors.
Yeah, so they use so many names to reference, like, what kind of person they say somebody is. Like, she calls her mom a Betty.
She calls Amber a full-on Monet.
there's another painter reference.
She looks like one of those but she mispronounces.
But she says it wrong, yeah.
Yeah, she means Botticelli, but she says Bonicelli, which is hilarious.
And then they call Christian something, too. Like, when they're talking about how he's gay.
Oh, in the car?
Oh, gosh,
yeah. Yeah, well, Murray uses a string of, like, derogatory terms.
No, I don't think it's... There's something else where they... Oh, gosh, I can't remember. But, yeah, I was actually wondering, like, if they did invent some of those terms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely did.
A Barney. I'm reading them now.
Oh, something that I picked up this time around that I don't think that I had ever noticed before. I always just assumed that they were at Beverly Hills High School, which is the setting of the show Beverly Hills 90210. And then I noticed during the scene when they're in gym class that, like, the monogram on the gym teacher's sweatshirt is actually BA and not BH, as I would assume that, like, Beverly Hills would be. And it turns out that the name of the school is actually Bronson Alcott High School. And Bronson Alcott was a 19th century transcendentalist writer best known for starting an ultimately unsuccessful utopian community called Fruitlands and for being the father of Little Women author Louisa May Alcott.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And I feel like there's some sort of loose tie-in there. I don't remember what it was. So, like, somebody that was in Little Women has been in other things that we've done.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's okay.
There are two things that I noticed that I never noticed before. One I actually have a question about. So, like, Josh is giving Cher shit for being
Josh,
selfish.
Her ex-stepbrother.
Yeah. He's hanging around their house. I also love the line, "You divorce wives, not children." I laugh every time. So he's hanging around their house, and he's like a college boy do-gooder, like dressed in flannel, like not Beverly Hills at all. And so he kind of like is making fun of Cher, although he's pretty nice to her. Like,
he's not that bad.
But he's a good brother type to her. Yeah. You know, he goes out driving with her. He rescues her when she needs a ride somewhere. He obviously cares about her and her family. So, do you think that she helps Ty to try to prove to Josh that she's not a bad person? I never thought that before until I watched it this time.
Yeah, it was all part of her, like, I'm going to do good in the world. So first she and Dion set up Miss Geist and the other teacher.
But that wasn't to do good in the world. That was to change her grades.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so So there's that. But then I think afterwards she was like, oh, I feel so good. I should start helping people all of the time. And that's when serendipitously Ty shows up on her first day of school, and she's like, oh my god, look at this project that we can work on.
I think she was trying to impress Josh.
Like, I mean, I don't think that she was necessarily conscious of that.
No, I don't think so either, but I think if you, like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but
no,
it's like,
I think you're right.
She liked him the whole time, and she didn't recognize it as that, but she really cared about impressing him, and this was her way. This is, like, the only thing she knew how to do, you know?
Right. Yeah, definitely. She didn't have any tree what was that group called? Meetings of the tree people. They're going to have Marky Mark come do a celebrity appearance.
plant a celebrity tree.
Yeah.
The other thing that I saw that I never noticed before was, so she gets all of her teachers to change her grades so that she gets better grades in school, which her father is very proud of because he's a lawyer, and she argued her teachers into giving her better grades.
I couldn't be more proud if they were based on real grades.
So in that scene, he looks at her report card, and there's like a close-up of her report card, and you can actually read what a lot of it says.
Oh, really?
So we hit pause on it. And, It a lot of it was illegible, but for geometry, the comment was nice shapes. It was like A-, nice shapes.
That's funny.
I never noticed that before, and it made me laugh.
Her dad, played by Dan Hedaya, who was in The Addams Family, which we did recently here on
Westworld. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yep,
he is so angry and so funny.
He's so good in this. Like, I mean, he's good in everything he does, but this is like an especially like on brand excellent performance for him.
Perfect in this.
Yeah.
Like when Cher has Ty over for dinner for the first time, and he just walks in, and she's like, "Oh, hey, Daddy, this is my friend Ty," and he just looks at her and he goes, "Get out of my chair."
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I think my favorite scene for him is when Christian comes over to pick up Cher, like, for them to go out on the date. He's like, "I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anyone would miss you."
But I also like Cher's not scared of him literally at all.
Yeah.
You know, she knows that he's scary, but she's not scared of him, and he is actually a good dad to her, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, like really supportive, really proud of her, and she takes really good care of him too. Like, she's such a caretaker, like for somebody who is described as like shallow and selfish and all that. Like, from the very beginning of the movie, she doesn't always behave that way. She's more complex than that.
Yeah, and that, I think that's, like, one of the things that, you know, draws so many of us to this movie, is that, like, on its surface, it's about this dumb blonde who, like, only cares about shopping and, like, talks like whatever, and it turns out that, like, actually she's hilarious, and she's smart, and she's resourceful, and she takes, like, she really cares about the people in her life. And, like, she always has good intentions, albeit, like, deeply misguided ones. So, yeah, she is a lot more, like, complicated. Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, she's not always, like, amazing at, like, taking care of herself, but she is really good at speaking.
Who among us is,
no,
really?
No, right. and she's 16, so, like, of course she's not. Yeah. But she is really good at speaking up for herself. Like, there's never a moment in the movie when I feel worried about her. Like,
yeah,
I know,
but I feel jealous of her,
you know,
all the time, because she always has like a really good argument or like a really good comeback for everything.
Yup.
I'm like, oh god, if only my brain worked that quickly.
Yeah, like even when Elton gets like all rapey with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, no, and she gets out of the car. Like, yeah. She's so strong.
Yeah. If only all of our instincts was to just like, ugh, as if, and like shove somebody off of us. I mean, not that that would necessarily, you know, help things, but whatever. She's getting a crisis. One thing that I noticed for the first time is that when Ty is over her house and she comes home after failing her driving test, and she's like all upset, and Ty is like trying to get it in with Josh, and they have this kind of like, I don't know if I would call it a fight, but this like they kind of spar back and forth.
It's a fight. She says, "You're a virgin who can't drive."
Yeah.
That's a fight.
That is a fight. Okay. But the thing that I had never noticed before is that Alicia Silverstone actually has real tears in her eyes when, like, when they show her reaction shot. And she says, like, that's way harsh, Ty. And I was like, oh, my God. She's such a good actress.
Is she a good actress, though? Or was she just, like, meant to play this part?
I don't know. I think she's pretty good. I've seen her in other things that I've enjoyed, and I think that she had a hard time after this movie getting cast as other roles. You know what I mean? That, like, yeah, she was so pigeonholed by this.
Yeah, the only other thing I can think of seeing her in is, like, Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And Excess Baggage.
I don't think I know that one.
She gets locked in a trunk. She, like, fake kidnaps herself.
Okay. I really like Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, I guess I have seen that.
That one's good. What else has she been in? Let's see. Oh, she was actually, I haven't yet seen this, but it is on my list of things that I need to watch. Amy Heckerling made another movie with her back in 2012 called Vamps, where she and Kristen Ritter actually play vampires. So, like, obviously, I need to see that.
Oh, I remember everyone saying that was terrible, though.
Yeah, me too, but what if it's not? You know?
Maybe.
Like, what if it's actually really good?
Maybe fun to watch
anyway. Yeah. Wow, she's been in a lot more stuff than I realized. I'm just, like, scrolling through her IMDb page right now. Oh, she was in all those Aerosmith videos.
Yeah, I knew that. I remember that.
She was in The Babysitter, which a teenage babysitter is the focus of two boys and a man's separate obsessions. I always get that one confused with something else that I can't remember the name of.
I think that this was Paul Rudd's first movie.
If not the first, like, definitely an early role for him, because this was definitely before he was, you know, Paul Rudd, America's sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, what a cast, really. I mean, so Stacey Dash grew up to be terrible, and she was a Fox News commentator for a while. She no longer is. And I said this to you yesterday when we weren't recording, that I think that Stacey Dash being a Fox News commentator is actually clueless canon, that, like, the character of Dion grew up and changed her name to Stacey and got a job at Fox News. I think that's, like, totally within the realm of possibility. So that's how I like to think of it. But Stacey Dash is fantastic, and she's really good in this movie, and she's from New Jersey.
Wait, let's pause there, because let's talk about Dion.
Okay.
I wish that I knew Dion better. Like, I want almost more Dion in this movie. I don't think they develop her character enough, because so much of it, especially towards the end, becomes about Ty and Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of send Dion off to just, like, be with Murray.
Yeah.
Which, like, now that I think about it, is, like, not weird, but it's, like, they introduce her as the main character's best friend in the beginning, and then she kind of disappears. Although, I guess that's what happens in high school. Your best friend gets a boyfriend.
Yeah. That's definitely what happens in high school. Or, you know, like, sometimes you're best friends with somebody, and then they start being friends with somebody else, and then that causes, like, a weird triangular dynamic that can, you know, cause problems. But yeah, they don't ever, like, address it in the movie. The only time they kind of do is after Ty has her near-death experience, and, like, everyone is crowded around her at the lunch table, and Dion, like, wants to talk to her and hang out with her and not Cher, and Cher feels, like, super left out. That's, like, the only time that you really see that dynamic. But it's more of a, like, Ty is the center of attention.
Yeah. Right. I just wanted to pause and talk about that.
Yeah. No, that's important, because she is so good in this, and it's a great character, and she should be in it more. Brittany Murphy, also a New Jersey woman, or at least she was up until a certain point in her life, who is also so great in this.
Yeah.
And is dead now, which is super sad.
Yeah, it was really sad.
She's so good in everything, though, too. She was on King of the Hill.
She's very adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donald Faison, who plays Murray, then went on to do so much, but I think most people would probably know him from Scrubs. Oh, Breckin Meyer plays Travis. Here's
who,
a fun...
What?
What were you going to say?
I just, like, feel sad, like, because he did this, and then he was in... What other teen movie was he in?
He was in a lot of teen movies, I feel.
He was in, oh gosh, what's the
he
one
He was
with
in
the
Road
big party?
Trip.
What's the one with the big
Rat
party?
Race. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And Seth Green is in it, and...
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was in it. Ethan Embry, who I also am sad that he wasn't in more things.
Oh man, he was in
Can't
Jersey.
Hardly Wait.
Yeah,
he
that
was,
one.
He was in Can't Hardly Wait, like barely. I feel like, but I, like I feel like Breckin Meyer was like the kind of guy that like I would have a crush on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 90s when I would see him in movies, like him and like Seth Green, like kind of like the not like hottest guy, but like the nerdy guy a little, or like the cool guy mm-hmm. who's like a little different than everybody else. So I feel sad that he didn't. He's like not around that much anymore.
No, but he is. He does a
is
lot
he?
Of voiceover
Maybe
work.
Maybe I
yeah.
just don't watch anything anymore.
Yeah, no, he's been on a lot of like animated shows, and he's in. Okay, so apparently he was like one of the lead characters on a show called Franklin and Bash, which was on for 3 years. Like he shows up in a lot of things, I think.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One of my favorite pieces of Clueless lore, which may or may not be true, Travis's full name in the movie is Travis Birkenstock.
Which is awesome.
And so, yeah, like the rumor is that he was the heir to the Birkenstock fortune, like the sandals.
I guess I could buy that.
Yeah, and like that's why his parents are rich and like they send him to the
that's
school.
That's funny
and...
because that's much smarter than what I thought. I was just like, oh, it's a joke, like, because he's the, like, kind of, like, hippie kid, so his last name is Birkenstock.
Yeah.
But, or he is actually the heir to the Birkenstock fortune.
Yeah, which is, like, a really
That's funny.
Yeah. Who else? Oh, Jeremy Sisto, he's in all sorts of shit, I don't like him. But he plays
Why?
Elton. I don't know, he just rubs me in the wrong way. It might be because his character, like... in this movie was the first time that I saw him.
Well, he was also, I mean, I only know him really from this and from 6 Feet Under, but mm-hmm. he was like a batshit
also a terrible
person,
person
in
there.
6 Feet Under, but I like him. Like, I think he's a good actor.
Or maybe he's a terrible person.
Or he's a good actor.
Maybe both.
Okay.
Both
yeah, maybe
things
both.
Can be true. Mr. Hall, Wallace Shawn of all of the things, including but not limited to Princess Bride, Toy Story, Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, Goodnight Saigon, so many things. He's also great. okay, I'm going to stop just listing actors now.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So, like, I can tell you which parts of this movie that I was, like, very obsessed with. They're, like, very weird and specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that everybody has those parts. So, like, what
yeah.
are yours?
Literally the entire movie. like, I could probably recite the entire movie from start to finish. But if there's, like, specific scenes, definitely the Mighty Mighty Boss Tone scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones are there. Oh my god. The opening scene with her, like, a super amazing wardrobe computer interface, which was, like, so far ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. A touchscreen?
On a CRT monitor, no less. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That... her wardrobe. What else? I think the driver's test scene, for some reason, I just really like the costume in that scene. Oh, the party scene when they're at the Val party, and she's in the car with Elton, and then he like leaves her in the middle of nowhere, and then she gets held up at gunpoint. And she's like, "You don't understand. This isn't Alaya. Alaya, a fashion designer who just died last week. So
Aww.
pretty timeless. R.I.P." These are just off the top of my head. I'm sure that there are others, though.
So I have a few like small moments that are mostly Alicia Silverstone hair related, but like they're like everything that I wanted and want still, I guess. My hair will never be like that though.
Same.
But there's like the one part where she's like sitting on the couch with Josh and she's combing her hair. She starts with it in front of her face, like she has all her hair like brushed in front of her face, and then she flips it over and she's putting clips in it for like 20 minutes. Like I always wanted to do that, and I'm sure that I tried to mimic that and looked terrible. Her That's actually the worst her hair looks in the movie, so I don't know why I wanted to do that.
I definitely have tried that, and I have a very vivid memory of, because I also have curly hair, getting a brush like stuck. Which has happened more times than I'd like to admit, long before I ever figured out that I actually can't brush my hair. But yeah, no. And then I like got stuck in it, and I tried flipping my hair over, and that just made it worse. But her hair in the entire movie is just always amazing. It's all
Like, I feel
silky and like beautiful.
50% of what my roommate and I talked about while we were watching this was just us going like, her hair is so shiny. Look at it, it's moving. Oh, look at it, look how bouncy. Like, we just could not stop talking about her hair.
It's almost as though her hair is a character itself.
It really is. And then the other hair thing that I loved a lot and like have tried to do and can't do is like when she takes Ty aside to take a picture of her, Ty has curly hair and it's in a ponytail, and she like pulls down these like perfect curly wisps of hair, and like I also used to try to do that to my hair, and my hair cannot do that
I'm laughing because I know exactly what you mean. Because then you just
either.
start looking like Krusty the Clown, or an Orthodox Jew. It like could go either way on that.
Yeah, but
Sometimes both at the same time.
there's no like adorable wispiness
Yeah.
happening. So I don't know
No.
how they did that, and it was but it was beautiful.
Yeah. Everyone's hair in this is so good.
It's true. There's also a lot of hats.
Oh my God. As a hat enthusiast myself, so many hats, so many great hats, so many sailor hats. There I
Really?
spotted at least two sailor hats. One is the red one that Amber wears that like matches her little outfit. The other one, which I had never noticed before, is actually in on the head of an extra during one of the lunch table scenes, and like the person has their back to the camera and they're just like in the background, but she's wearing like a light pink sailor hat. And then at the end of the movie, during the wedding reception scene where the girls are sitting at the table talking about what they want when they get married, Dion says that she wants like to wear like a sailor dress, but it'll be a gown, and all of her maids of honor will wear sailor hats but with veils. So not an actual sailor hat, but a sailor hat reference.
So another feeling that I had watching this that I never had before was that it is kind of weird that she starts dating her stepbrother.
Oh, it's super weird.
I never like worried about it before.
Yeah, I try not to think about that part.
Like, what
Like,
if they break up one day, but he's like obviously considers Mel dad-like. Like,
yeah.
that's all very strange.
It is really weird.
So I hope they never break up.
Yeah. So apparently, the scene where she comes down the stairs, the scene where she's like about to go out on a date with Christian and she's wearing that white Calvin Klein dress, that her dad is like, it looks like underwear. And then he asks her to put something on over it, and she puts on a sheer see-through shirt that's open, which is great. But like Josh all of a sudden starts seeing her like in a different light, and the music playing is the instrumental version of Gigi from the film Gigi from 1958. And that movie apparently is also about an older brotherly like character seeing a little girl transform into a beautiful young lady and falling in love with her. Wow,
Oh.
okay, gross.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's not a great thing. It
I
is
can like
really creepy.
feel a little bit better about it because like she's like 16 by the end of the movie.
And
He's probably
he's
only
a
18.
freshman in
He's like
college,
18 or
yeah.
19. Like so that age gap isn't that weird. And
No.
then like they do talk about how like she does say like you were barely even married to his mother and that was 5 years ago. So like I guess like they were barely married. So but
Yeah, and I mean they are not at related at all. Like that's
no.
true. That part of it is true. It's still weird, but you know, I just suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the first time I was ever like,
Oh, I made this note when I was reading Stacey Dash's Wikipedia article. Has nothing to do with the movie, but she competed in a 2008 reality TV series, Celebrity Circus. Prior to the series premiere, she had suffered a broken rib while training, but despite the interview, she performed on the trapeze bungee during the premiere and continued on to be a finalist. She finished second behind Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yeah,
So.
I vaguely remember when that was a
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
They
I
also
figured.
did. So, like, I think it was like after Dancing with the Stars started, maybe. And so they were like, oh, we could do this for everything. So they had one called Celebrity Circus, and they also had, I think they had Celebrity Diving.
Oh, I think you're right. And they definitely did celebrity figure skating, which like didn't go great.
Definitely dancing was the only thing that worked.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the least dangerous of those.
Yeah, but even on that, they get hurt all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I want to watch the video of her now doing the trapeze.
I said I'd get to the wardrobe later. And it's come up several times still. But during the film, there are 53 different kinds of tartan plaid used, seven of
Wow.
which are worn by Cher and 12 by other major characters.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, Dion wears that a lot too.
yeah, if you're a fan of plaid, you'll be a fan of Clueless. According to As If, a book by Jen Chaney celebrating the 20th anniversary of the film, though many people think that the costuming budget must have been really high for the film, it was actually quite modest for a big blockbuster, which is not how I would characterize this, but anyway. Costume designer Mona May wanted the girls to look like mall rats, not models. So the 63 outfit changes that Cher has only cost $200,000. The biggest costume expense was the plaid Jean-Paul Gaultier outfit that Alicia Silverstone wears in the opening scenes. So that
Oh,
yellow
the
plaid
yellow
one is
one.
just by far like worth it.
And
You can
Dion has
tell.
on the same outfit, except it's black and white.
Yeah. And she also has that amazing hat.
Wonder how much did that outfit cost?
The big Wikipedia article did not specify.
Gonna find out.
But Alicia Silverstone got to keep all of her outfits.
It is funny, like watching them in the movie. They're always at the mall, like, but they're supposed to be these like rich girls, but they definitely look like they're shopping in like stores that I shopped in when I was 15.
The mall scenes were all filmed at a mall in Sherman Oaks, California. But it just looks like a regular mall, as malls do. generally. But Alicia Silverstone apparently gave all those costumes away for charity or whatever, which is
She would. She's one of those, isn't she? She likes to do good things. And she cares about animals and stuff, right?
I don't know if this is her or if this is true, if I'm mixing up something else, but I think also when she had a child, she was like baby birding food into its mouth for some like weird vegan reason that I don't remember.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. That might not be true. Her speech in debate class about Haitian refugees, she mispronounced Haitian Haitians. And apparently, that speech is a full minute longer. I have to actually track down this video because,
Oh, I would like to hear it.
yeah, apparently it was used in its entirety as the first half of an original theatrical trailer and was cut for the final
Whoa.
film, but featured additional comparisons to her garden party, including a rant on mismatched chairs, which was totally icky. And I feel like she actually makes like a really good, like a
That
compelling
argument.
and
I don't
concise
know
argument.
why I'm mad every time Mr. Hall is not impressed, and I'm mad every time Amber's like, Mr. Hall, how do I answer that? Like, she wasn't listening if she doesn't know how to answer that.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe part of the reason that they cut the speech was to make it like a little bit seem like a little bit more just like off the cuff and ridiculous. But like if you actually listen to what she says, it makes sense. May I remind you that it does not say RSVP on the Statue of
Statue
Liberty.
of Liberty.
Also, apparently she did not know how to pronounce the word Haitians, so she said Haitians, and Amy Heckerling like told all the crew members not to correct her because she like just thought it like
It's
was
perfect.
yeah
Oh, I'm
according.
reading an article right now that says that Amy Heckerling's grandparents were stepbrother and stepsister, so that's why she didn't think the Sharon Josh thing,
Really?
that's why she didn't think it was weird.
Oh, that is very, very interesting. I came across this when I was doing research that she went to the High School of Art and Design in New York City, and on her first day of school there, she realized she wanted to be a film director because during their first assignment, they were assigned to write about what they wanted to do in life, and she wrote down that she wanted to be a writer or an artist for Mad Magazine. And then she noticed that the boy sitting next to her he wrote that he had wanted to be a film director, and she said that he had like copied from her later on in the class all the time. And she said, quote, "I was really annoyed because I thought if an idiot like that guy could say he wanted to be a director, then so could I, and certainly I should be a director more than he should. It had never occurred to me that that was a job possibility. He put the thought in my head because until then I would have never thought of saying I wanted to do that. It didn't seem to be one of those jobs that would be open to me." So I love that she's a spite director. That made me laugh really hard. Because I've had that feeling before where I'm like, oh, this motherfucker can do it. I can definitely handle this. Which has been my salve for imposter syndrome, especially over the course of the last year. That, like, if Donald Trump can be president, I can do anything. Amy Heckerling actually makes a cameo in the film as one of Miss Geist's maid of honor at the wedding scene, and she is
Oh.
also in the bouquet catching scene and is the source of most of the struggling, which is hilarious.
In the bouquet scene, somebody's head definitely gets sat on. Like,
Oh.
straight up sat on. Like, it looks like it hurt.
That's unfortunate. Cher's house is always filled with really beautiful flower arrangements. That's a thing that I noticed for the first time when I was watching it this time. There's just like really good flowers in the house that are just like fresh all of the time, which
Yeah,
is
the
very
house is
expensive.
beautiful.
Yeah. The columns date all the way back to 1970. There's actually a giant painted portrait of her mother in the foyer, I guess, of her house.
Yeah.
It's just big open space when you walk in the front door. And I don't know if you notice this, but she looks exactly like Greta Gerwig. It's
Oh, well, I think
the
she looks
resemblance is
exactly like,
uncanny.
I thought she looked exactly like Alicia Silverstone, who also looks like Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say that she looks more like Greta Gerwig than she does like Alicia Silverstone.
I can see
Or
that,
maybe
but
it's
they're pretty similar looking.
Actors who auditioned for this film included Reese Witherspoon for Cher, Terrence Howard for Murray, Jeremy Renner for Christian and Josh, Zooey Deschanel for Amber, which would have been interesting, and Cher, Owen Wilson for Travis, Leah Remini for Ty, Seth Green for Travis, which seems very obvious, and Lauryn Hill for Dion. That would have been
Oh.
interesting. Do you think Suck and Blow is a real game that people actually play in real life?
I don't know, but I'm sure they did after this movie.
Yeah, because it said that during the filming that scene, the cast were unable to sustain breath to make like a real credit card pass from mouth to mouth, so they made a prop card out of cardboard, and
Like the
that didn't
credit card was
work.
too heavy.
Yeah, and so they poked holes into it to make it even easier, and then this failed also. So the whole cast's lips were heavily coated in chapstick to force the card to stick, which just sounds so
Oh,
gross.
I'm gonna try to suck a credit card onto my mouth the next time I'm near my wallet.
You could probably try it with something that hasn't made contact with a thousand dirty things.
I don't know. I don't feel that worried.
I just wrote down the tennis scene.
I think that's when I was the most shocked when I watched this again as an
Yeah.
adult. The joke about balls being near Amber's face.
Have a note from my plastic surgeon that says he doesn't want me participating in anything where balls fly at my nose.
Well, there goes your social life. I just like
Yeah.
couldn't believe that joke.
It's so good.
It's so
Like,
good.
there's. But that scene is just so good because it's just like one amazing line after another. Because. D, I told you, when your allergies act up, take out your nose ring. Yeah, no, that scene is so good. She could be a farmer in those clothes. I feel like, did they say like exactly where Ty is from? Like, I know she's from quote
No, but
unquote
she
New York,
sounds like
but
she's from New York. They don't say, though.
I always thought that like the implication was that she was from New York City, but I think now that I watched it, she seems like too naive to be from
But she
New York
talks about
City.
doing drugs, and
Yeah.
she's like not a virgin. Like she seems to have had a bunch of sex.
Yeah.
There could be like a hidden storyline where like no, that wouldn't make sense. Never mind.
No,
They
finish
could
the
have.
thought.
They
I
could
need to hear it.
like I think a lot about like why they had to move, because they don't say anything about like why they moved
Yeah.
there. And she doesn't talk about her parents at all or her family at all. So, like, I don't know. Why do you think she moved there?
Well, I learned as an adult that my childhood best friend had moved away very suddenly because his parents were growing and selling pot, and apparently, the law was like closing in on them, and they had picked up and moved to Colorado very suddenly.
Oh,
So maybe something like that. I don't know.
no. I was gonna say that like it could have been a move because she sounds like she was bad news, like wherever they were from before. She was like doing coke and like having sex. She's like 15. So I was gonna say maybe they moved to give her a fresh start, but like maybe probably Beverly Hills would not be the correct place for them to move to do
It would
that.
not be my first choice, no.
So never mind, that's a bad idea.
According to the script, the restaurant scene where they are talking about dicks, it was supposed to take place at a California pizza kitchen, but when the CEO, when they read the breadstick slash penis jokes in the script, they would not allow filming to take place in the restaurants. Did you watch the TV show ever?
Maybe when it was first on, but it wasn't
Yeah.
good.
Nope.
Right?
No, it wasn't. It was not. I don't think, anyway.
Like what did they like what were the can you remember any like plot lines from the show?
Oh, no, definitely not.
'Cause like what would happen? I'm curious how you would develop these characters in a TV show. Like the movie is so it seems so complete the way it is. Like I don't want to think about what else they're doing with their lives. And like whatever, okay, you can replace Cher, I guess, with another actress, but like is Josh in it? I guess he is. I'm
No,
looking at the
Paul, I'm,
Wikipedia.
I don't know
Well,
if the
Paul Rudd's
character
not
is,
in
but
it,
Paul Rudd's
but the
not.
character Josh is in it. Oh God, and he was played. Oh, okay, and he was played by a guy who was on Hey Dude, and who was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah, I know exactly what guy that is. He yeah.
Let me. I'm taking a look. The TV show premiered the same night as Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Whoa.
Yeah. David Lasher. Oh yeah, he does look
You know that
familiar.
guy.
Yeah. He was in lots of stuff.
But so does
Apparently.
that mean that Cher and Josh were still together in the TV show?
I don't know.
Do you think, like, in 1995, how many. I'm wondering how rare or not rare it was for a teenage gay character to appear.
I mean, it definitely was l significantly less common than it is now. Not that it's even common now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'd hesitate to use the word groundbreaking. I don't think
No,
that's
I
what this
don't think
is.
it was groundbreaking.
But aside from the string of derogatory terms that Murray uses is to tell Cher that Christian is gay. I think it's great that they just that she's just like, oh, I guess I can't have sex with him, but that's okay. Like we can still go shopping together, and then it's like it's never a problem after that for
No.
that character or for anyone around him, which is nice.
Yeah, no, you never. I mean, you never see him get treated badly because of it. But he also doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Cher thinks they're dating, and he never straight up says to her, like, no, I don't like women.
Yeah,
He
well,
just,
he
like,
may
makes
not
f
know.
faces at her.
Yeah. I he may not be like 100% clear himself, you know.
Yeah,
I
no,
think
that
it
makes
takes
sense.
people a long time to figure out like who and what they like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I especially in the mid 90s, I mean, I have younger friends that are like just have been out forever, and it's just like not a big deal at all. And like when we were in high school, it was still like a pretty big deal to come out. And like, I don't know, it just seems like there are so many more like there are things that I didn't even know were an option, you know, that are like fairly common now. I
Yeah.
don't know if that is if I'm articulating that right, but like I didn't know that it was an option to be bisexual, you know. Or like
Yeah.
anything else. You are either gay or not gay. So I think, you know, it takes a person time in their life to figure that stuff out, and like it's hard to figure that kind of stuff out when you don't even know like what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
And when like everything that you see any gay or gay-ish character in dies at like a horrible tragic or meets a
Right.
horrible
Yeah.
tragic end, which
Right.
like continues to be the case in a lot of media. I think I can't possibly be all of the trivia that I wrote down.
Oh, I found one while we were talking that I really
Okay.
liked.
What?
Cher had no last name in the script,
Oh, yeah.
and so Mr. Hall made it up when, like, the first time he like said her name.
Yeah.
And this is that this article says that if you look on her report card, it doesn't say Cher Horowitz. It says, where is it? I lost it.
It's like another H
On
name
the
that's
yeah, on the
not.
report card, it says Cher Hamilton.
Right.
We were talking a little bit about before we recorded that the Wikipedia page says that Cher's full name is Sherilyn, which I didn't believe. And then I looked up what Cher,
The
famous
singer.
Cher's
Yeah.
full name is, and it's Sherilyn. So I guess it's the same
Yeah. Well,
because she was
'cause she.
named after her.
She says about her and Dion. Well, first she says we're friends because we know what it's like to have people who are jealous of us. But then she also says, and we're both named after famous singers of the 70s that now do infomercials, which is so good. The part of Mr. Hall was actually based on real Beverly Hills High debate teacher named Herb Hall, a friend of Amy Heckerling's. And as a favor, the real Herb Hall was given the part of the school principal. But I don't know. Like, do you ever see the principal?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I really like the attitude of the teachers in this movie towards the kids, because the kids are just awful when they're in class. They're like clearly don't care about class. They're on their cell phones, they're talking to each other, they're just like basically being the worst.
Oh, you mean they're being teenagers in high school?
Yeah, but like worse. Because they're all spoiled and like whatever. So, like, I like Miss Geist just like wants them to care so badly. And then, like, I love the part where Elton's like, she's like begging them to like help with something and some disaster,
My foot
and
hurts.
Elton's
Can I go
like,
to the nurse?
not even that part, although I think that's hilarious. My foot hurts. He just is like, can I use the pass? And she's like, yeah. Like, she just is like,
Yeah, he does that like several times. First, it's I gotta go to the quad before somebody snags my cranberries CD. And then that his foot hurts, and then can I use the pass? The character of Elton is interesting to me because he is as one-dimensional as like most female characters are in a lot of other
Yeah,
things.
it's true.
Like the only things that we know about him is that his father is a big deal, he's clearly an asshole, and also that he likes the cranberries, and like that's it.
And that he does not like being in class.
Right. He also doesn't like getting off the freeway.
Yeah, it's true. If like we watched a movie and it was switched around and he was a girl, we would be like, ugh, they didn't develop that character at all. But he
All we know
also
about her is that she listens to the cranberries.
But also, like, he, in the end, I don't think we're supposed to like Elton.
Oh, definitely not.
So they kind of, like, we didn't get attached to him because he had no personality anyway.
No, he has a personality. He's just sh it's a shitty personality.
But she is. So I was thinking about it, and, like, he is trying to hit on her the whole movie. And she looks like she's into it.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I it seems to me that she's made it very clear that she's not going to be dating high school boys.
No,
Like,
I do think that that's true, yes.
and like not just to her friends, she's just like, no. Get out of my face.
Yeah, like, what, yeah, when I think about where she's not. No, I guess. I don't know. It's tricky. Because he is always touching her, and she's always touching him back.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, gross, he's just creepy, and she doesn't know how to tell him to stop.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely. Or she just thinks that he's her friend, you
Yeah,
know?
I think that's what it is. Because I do think she does know how to tell him to stop.
Yeah. Well, and she clearly does when it comes down to it. I love the scene where, like immediately before she realizes, "Oh my God, I love Josh." But she's like, It's like a montage of her like wandering the streets of Beverly Hills with voiceover of her thinking about like, ugh, why do I feel so icky? And she even says the line, I had this overwhelming sense of ickiness, which always makes me laugh because like, I don't know if this happens to you, but like before I get my period, I'm like, why do I feel so terrible? Everything is the worst and everything hurts. Why? And I've been getting my period for over 15 years now, and every time I'm surprised. And I'm like, oh, right, PMS is a thing. That's
I
why.
am never surprised because I always know why it's happening,
Yeah.
but like it doesn't change anything. Like I'm always just like, I don't care. This is still the worst. Like it
Yeah.
doesn't, like even if I recognize why it's happening, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, that's true. But a friend of mine and I use the phrase overwhelming sense of ickiness as like shorthand for like, oh, I forgot that PMS is a thing again.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm less surprised by it now 'cause I use a convenient period tracking app, but
Oh.
which I highly recommend. Clue, it's great.
I just use a calendar.
That works too. I'm not really a calendar person.
I'm a very calendar person. Everybody claps for Cher a lot in this movie. Do you think that that's real or is that like in her imagination a little bit?
I think that it might be a little bit in her imagination.
There's like several times where she walks into a room and everybody applauds.
Yeah, it's so good. Ugh, God, this movie is just so good.
There is one example that I heard of a thing that you can't say in movie
Yeah,
anymore.
there's a couple of those.
Oh, I only caught one that I was like, oh, you definitely can't say that. And it's when she says, I'm such a retard.
Yeah.
You definitely can't say that
I
anymore.
think Ty also says a shortened version of that word later in the
She
film.
does?
Yeah. When they're like burning the souvenirs of her non-relationship with Elton. Or like when she's like telling Cher that like something it has something to do with that. She like is about to throw the tape in the fire and she's like, don't burn that. Yeah, there was something else that I was like, ooh, but I don't remember what it was now. Oh, it was just it's the string of derogatory terms for a gay person that Marie uses when they're in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to circle back about what I said about Stacey Dash being Clueless Cannon, I also wrote down like, what if she's Alex P. Keaton type character? This I'm just fleshing out this idea that I have of her growing up to be Stacey Dash. But anyway, like, can't you see that being the case? Like, her parents are all like, super rich and like whatever, and then she's like super conservative as like a reaction to that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I also wrote down snack wells. You remember snack wells?
I remember snack walls. Were there snack walls in this?
There is at the lunch table scene when everyone's like gathered around Ty and she's telling them about her near-death experience.
There was a lot of product placement in this.
Yeah.
There was Coke. There was Minute Maid. There was, what else?
There's I love this is like another shorthand PMS thing. I feel like such a heifer. I had two bowls of Special K, three pieces of turkey bacon, a handful of popcorn, five peanut butter M&Ms, and like three pieces of licorice. So she's like using brand names for that, but it just made me think of it. She also has a Starbucks cup in the skate park scene towards the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, there was another. That was the second Starbucks. In the earlier when they bring the lawyers food, there's
Oh,
a Starbucks cup.
yeah. I love the scene. I think we're just gonna wind up talking about literally every scene in the movie just out of sequence. the before that, when Ty gets to that party slash concert thing or whatever they're at, and she falls down the stairs, and Cher is dancing with Christian, and you just see a montage of Ty just standing there and like changing the way that she has her shirt tied, and like then putting it in her hair,
Yeah,
and
I
like
love
change the way
that
that she
too.
looks, and she's just like standing there looking so uncomfortable. I find that highly relatable.
Yeah, I really like that also. Do you think that they're good role models?
I mean, they're not that good role models. Cher says, "You see how picky I am about my shoes, and those only go on my feet." And I think that's a nice thing to teach children. It's like, be picky about the people that you date. I don't know.
I'm just
I mean,
curious because we saw this when we were so young.
I wouldn't hold them up as being like models to base your life off of.
But
But
they
they're
could be
not
worse, and they
terrible.
do, yeah, like they do care about being good and doing the right thing in a lot of ways.
Well, apparently, Peter Travers of Rolling Stone gave the film 4 stars, contrasting it to the more adult-oriented film about teenagers released around the same time, Kids, stating the materialism in Clueless is almost as scary as the hopelessness in Kids. Which I think that's an overstatement. I don't think that the materialism in Clueless is really, well, nothing is as scary as the hopelessness in Kids, but
It's hard. Like, so here, because here's what I was just thinking about as I was like, because I also grew up not like rich, but like pretty good, you know? And like, so it felt relatable and like good to see someone else who was like also, you know, wealthy and like doing well and like more spoiled than I was, but like pretty much doing the bare minimum and being graduated for it. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of. I mean, to this day, I'm very much a proponent of doing the bare minimum and
No,
being
well, no, I know,
congratulated for
I
it.
am too, but also that's kind of shitty. It's
Yeah.
not great.
Yeah, but I will direct your attention back to the Amy Heckerling quote that I read before about the dummy who she was sitting next to in her high school class and realized that if he wanted to be a director, so could she. This is something that definitely would not fly in a movie now either, which is that Mr. Hall passes out the report cards, and Travis is so upset he tries to jump out the window, and Mr. Hall says, "And will you please hold the suicide attempts until the next period?"
Yeah, I don't know if you can make that joke anymore, but
You definitely can't.
that was when I wrote the note about how chill I think the teachers are. Like he's just so like able to diffuse that situation like as if it's nothing.
The soundtrack is also good.
The soundtrack is great.
And I think that does it for all of my notes. Oh, except that the writers sat in on classes at Beverly Hills High to get the flavor of the students.
Oh, I wonder like how much of this they actually pulled from people.
I feel like when they're going through like the quad and Cher is pointing out like all the different groups, like that seemed very real. In addition to the spin-off TV show, it also spawned a series of books, apparently.
Kind of books.
I don't know. Books. Let's see if I can find more information about that. Oh, they have their own Wikipedia article. Clueless, parentheses, novels. Simon Spotlight Entertainment spun off a collection of paperback books from 1995 to 1999, aimed at adolescent readers, mostly by written by H.B. Gilmore and Randy R Riesford. published by Simon & Schuster. Oh, there are a lot of them. There's 21 listed here. I'm just going to read off the names. First one's just Clueless. Two, Cher Negotiates New York, which I would read. Three, An American Betty in Paris. Four, Achieving Personal Perfection.
Look, I'm looking at the covers of these books right now, and they use Alicia Silverstone and Rachel, what's her name? What's her last name? The woman who played Cher in the TV show. They use them completely interchangeably on the covers. No. Stacey Dash appears to be on a lot of them.
Okay.
There's some rando redhead. Sometimes it's Amber and sometimes it's not Amber.
But is it, like, somebody that's supposed to look like Amber or just a totally different character?
I think so. Yeah, because she has weird hair like Amber had.
Okay.
Cher's furiously fit workout.
Yeah. Friend or foe?
Oh, my God.
Spelled F-A-U-X. Cher goes environmental. Enviro-mental. Baldwin from another planet. Too hottie to handle. Cher and Cher alike. I don't understand what
I
that wanna means.
I want to read one.
I would definitely read Cher Negotiates New York. That's the thing that I would do. A totally Cher affair. Romantically correct. Chronically crushed. Babes in Boyland. Dude with a tude. Cher's frantically romantic assignment. Extreme sisterhood. Southern fried makeover. Okay. Betty Palooza and Cher's guide to ... whatever.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah.
I guess by the time that those would have come out, we would have maybe been too old to read them. Like, why didn't we know about that?
I don't know. I'm not a big reader. I'm definitely not a big reader of, like, novels based on movies that I liked.
No, I guess, but like, how many of those are there? Like, you say that like that's a thing.
Oh, well, okay, so Cage Club co-founder Mike Manzi is starting a new podcast where he's watching only the third movie of film franchises, and he said that part of, like, as an episode segment, he's going to be reading from the novelizations of as many of them as he can find.
Okay, novelizations, so that's the thing. I take it back.
Oh my God, it is a huge industry. They make novelizations of just about everything these days. It's wild. Right.
I guess make as much money as you can from the thing that everybody likes.
Yep. Where did you find all of the book covers?
Oh, I just Googled it and they came up on my Google.
Oh, okay. Came up with lots of unrelated stuff. Costumes are just so good.
They're so good. What's your favorite one?
Oh my God, I don't even know if I could pick. I mean, I think probably the, like, Alaya dress and jacket combo. But the yellow plaid is definitely up there. She has this one kind of goth look when she comes into the kitchen and Josh, like, we see Josh for the first time and he's, like, raiding the refrigerator.
That is kind of goth. And she's, like, painting her dark lipstick on.
Yeah, that's a great look. And she's wearing, like, a cross necklace, like a long cross necklace. And then the other one is a red plaid look that she's wearing with a hat when she walks out into the, like, lunch table area and everyone starts applauding for her and she, like, curtsies. That's a really good one.
I really like the jacket that she wears to the party. I think that's my favorite.
Yeah. but also the driver's test outfit. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot, too.
I like the outfit that Ty wears when they give her the makeover and it has the big heart on the sweater. I like that one. And I like her gym outfit. It's just black shorts and a white t-shirt, except she puts a black spaghetti strap tank top over her white t-shirt and it looks great.
Oh yeah, it does. All of it looks great all of the time. And also, like her spandex onesie that she's wearing, the tie is over, and my
If
buns,
I
they don't feel
saw
nothing like
that
steel.
right
I
now, I
totally
would
wear
buy
it,
it
right?
and wear it
Yeah,
every day.
I would too.
Yeah, they have really great leotards on in that scene.
I don't remember what Ty is wearing because I just am always so distracted by Alicia Silverstone.
No, she has something cute on too. She has on like matching shorts and a sports bra.
Yeah. You said you don't like any of Amber's costumes, right?
I
Because she
don't
has a few that
think
I like a
so.
lot.
I'm gonna look right now. I mean, I like the dress that her and Cher both wear. I like Amber's gym outfit.
Oh man, the very first thing that came up is her in the red sailor hat, which I forgot has a dollar sign on the front.
Yeah,
Oh,
no,
the
I don't
black,
like
like,
Amber.
feathery thing
Yeah.
with the choker. I like that one too. Oh, and the photo shoot scene, she's wearing this insane outfit. First of all, she has pigtail braids that are like wired up
They're
like,
like Pippi Longstocking braids.
And then she's wearing this like crazy striped sweater dress with striped thigh highs, I think. I'm not sure if it's all one piece or if it's a dress and stockings, but I 100% would wear that.
Who's the Asian girl? They like barely
Summer.
ever even name her.
Yes, her name is Summer. She's the one who is carrying the light up snowman outside of the Val party and who gives Ty a ride home.
She seems like she was supposed to be, or like she seems like she's a character who maybe had more scenes that got cut.
Yeah, I think so. What's weird about like Amber is that like it seems like they kind of hang out, but also not really. Like,
They're
also they hate each
frenemies.
other's. Oh,
They're
yeah, that's a
frenemies.
thing. Sure.
Well, that was definitely on my notes.
Yeah, I think it was all mine too. I'm just looking at pictures now. Oh man, on-set Polaroids of all of
Oh,
Amber's
really?
looks. Yeah, they're
That's
pretty wild.
cute.
I don't know if these are from the movie or the TV show though, because these are a lot of things. It's just such a good movie. Oh my God. When she gets into Christian's car and he's like, "You like Billie Holiday?" And she says, "I love him." I think we've now recited the entire movie.
Literally every scene.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if we actually did miss any scenes. Do you have anything else to say about it?
Nope.
Nope, me neither. So I guess that does it for this episode of Wistful Thinking. You can find us online at cageclub.me, along with all of the other great Cage Club podcasts, all things movie and nostalgia podcasts. Hopefully, our next episode will be the episode that was supposed to be in this one spot, which is also about something that is a Jane Austen adaptation that we don't love nearly anywhere near as much. So we'll talk to you then. Send us an email at wistfulpod@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at wistfulpod. And I think that's it. So goodbye.
Bye.
Supermodel, and my hair. yesterday. And I'm not gonna eat today. And I'm not gonna eat tomorrow. Cause I'm gonna be a supermodel. Supermodel.